One of my favorite Christmas movies is The Family Man with Nicolas Cage and Tia Leone. For those of you who aren't familiar with it or haven't seen it in a long time, here's the basic premise of the film. A very successful and wealthy Wall Street executive named Jack goes to sleep one night in his own bed, but mysteriously wakes up the next morning as himself, but in a different house with a dramatically different life. He goes from being a single, career-driven city dweller with so much wealth that he can buy whatever he wants to a married father of two living very modestly in the suburbs. One minute, Jack is the CEO over a huge company with sweeping international influence, and the next moment, he's a salesman in his father-in-law's tire store. At first, he's terrified and hates leaving behind his lavish lifestyle. But once he experiences what true love feels like from a devoted wife and two adoring kids, he realizes that his priorities and desires have been all wrong. Every time I watch this movie, which admittedly is almost every year, I'm always freshly fascinated by what Jack is willing to give up at the end of the film. Spoiler alert! Unlike many Christmas fantasy movies, Jack doesn't miraculously get what he wants at the end of the film. The real miracle of the story is the transformation of Jack's heart to the point where he desperately desires sacrificial love over power, prestige, and all the money he could ever want. Giving up himself for the benefit of others becomes more appealing to him than receiving all that his old lifestyle had to offer. I'm sure the Hollywood writers didn't set out to illustrate Psalms 37:4 when they crafted the Family Man script, but the truth of that verse swirls in my mind over and over when I think about Jack's choices. The verse says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you desires of your heart." Jack's self-centered, self-pleasing choices were transformed by receiving sacrificial love. What a perfect Christmas message to ponder when thinking of what Jesus offers us, starting with the manger in a dank, dirty stable. While there is no movie, novel, or analogy that could truly help us grasp the kind of love that would compel a king to give up his splendor in order to wrap himself in the rags of common humanity, this story comes pretty close. In his wealthy life, Jack only let the finest Italian suits touch his exceedingly toned and pampered body. In the glimpse he was given as a father, Jack was rapidly developing a dad bod and wore a cotton poly blend sales shirt with his name embroidered on the left pocket. I'm sure you get the picture. The dad version of Jack, working at the tire store, couldn't afford a tailored suit, and there's a poignant scene about that in the movie. Nor a gym membership, much less have the time for it. But now, try to imagine what Jack gave up on a much, much grander scale. A heavenly scale. One minute Jesus was walking on the streets of gold, and the next he was beginning a long journey on a dusty road with a destination called Calvary. Since before time began, he had been dwelling in endless perfection and unfathomable beauty, and he chose to subject himself to abject poverty and unrelentingly harsh conditions. Most shockingly, he chose sacrificial love to the point of death over inexhaustible pleasure in the presence of God the Father. As Hebrews 12:2 puts it, he chose to suffer beyond anything you and I could possibly fathom for the joy that was set before him. But that's because the joy that Jesus was focused on is vastly more than we can possibly fathom. And what's even more astounding is the faith, belief, and trust in his Father that Jesus demonstrated while he was enduring the difficulty of his time and eventually his brutal death here on earth. Jesus knew the joy that waited on the other side of the cross and triumphant resurrection was us, you and me. We are his joy. He lived and died solely that our union of joy might be complete in the Father. Being with us forever and abiding with us here in our hearts was worth everything he had to give for us. In John 15:10 through 11, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be made full. This concept is repeated in 1 John 1, 3 through 5, where it says the message of Jesus was given so that our joy may be complete. As a king on Wall Street, Jack could have never imagined changing a stinky diaper in the wee hours of the morning. And yet he eventually came to realize that all the sacrifices and discomfort of being a father were worth it for the joy of loving his children. Even more so, imagine the love our Heavenly Father lavishes upon us, his children, through the birth and eventual sacrifice of Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3:15 through 21, that when we offer Jesus a home in our hearts and learn to trust him, he empowers us to not only grasp how long, how high, and how deep God's love is, but to also share that love with others at a level that will exceed our wildest dreams and expectations. When we allow the Spirit of Christ to complete his work in us, we become Christmas miracles ourselves. A week from today, Christmas will be over, but after the torn wrapping paper is wadded up and tossed in the recycle bin, after the last bit of ham is eaten, after the last house guest goes home, will you and I remain unchanged? Will there be anything different about us other than a few additional pounds that need to be run off on the treadmill after New Year's? My blog post for next week is already written, and it's entitled The Day After Greatness. And ironically, God laid it on my heart to write it before today's post. I think that's because he wanted to remind me that the big events, the holidays, the mile markers of our lives are not destinations in themselves. They are steps on a journey with him, and none of them is without purpose. None of them is a carbon copy of the last one that requires us to only go through the motions. Absolutely none of them is ordinary unless we allow them to be. When we take the time to honor, celebrate, and meditate upon the birth of sacrificial love, we cannot help but to be changed, no matter how many times we think we've done it before. John 1 tells us that the Word became flesh in a manger, so that the Word could one day live in us. The Word is God. The Word is Jesus, full of grace and truth. Scripture is the God-breathed Word that gives us life. The Word is alive in us. If you haven't already, read John 1, 1 through 17 again several times. Read it aloud. Read it in several different versions. Ask the Word to fall fresh upon you this Christmas, and then rest. Really rest. Breathe and let yourself receive the joy, the awe, and the wonder of what only Jesus can bring.